A slow and meticulous fiction writer, Ravi Howard has taken 7 years to finish his second novel, Driving the King, and I don't doubt it will bring critical acclaim, if not wide readership. It seems lately the bestseller list has little or no room for thoughtful, ruminative prose, and Driving the King is literary fiction without apology. Driving the King moves back and forth between two performances by Nat King Cole in Montgomery. The first is right after World War II, returning Sergeant Nathaniel Weary, protagonist and narrator. A childhood friend of the singer is taking his girl Maddie to a downtown theater on this special night to hear Cole, one of the big voices of the era, and to propose. The show has barely begun when a half dozen white men, armed with pipes, storm the stage to beat Cole. Weary jumps on stage and, using the microphone as a club, defends Cole successfully. The racist gang leader is sentenced to 3 years in prison. Nat Weary, who should have received the Montgomery Citizen of the Year medal, is sentenced to 10 years at hard labor in Kilby Prison. The other performance is 10 years later. Cole is returning to Montgomery to give the concert that was aborted, this time to a black-only audience. There is a redemption, a satisfaction, some closure in this. In the story of these two evenings, Howard, in an unhurried fashion, explores a variety of subjects. He proceeds in elegant, restrained prose. He describes life at Kilby with its physical exhaustion, soul-crushing deprivation, and grinding racism. Every moment, every utterance must be guarded. One inmate would inform on another for a pack of cigarettes, and even decent guards become sadists in time. Weary must fight despair. Some inmates climb the fence in order to be shot to death by guards. But he stoically endures and finally recovers from his ordeal. Now, after his release in 1955, Nathaniel Weary is Cole's driver, bodyguard, and friend. In Hollywood, Nat King Cole, dubbed now the Jackie Robinson of television, has just begun the first TV show featuring a black performer. Footing the bill himself, he is seeking sponsors, but none appears. Cole, indeed, suffers from some bigotry in Hollywood, hate mail, graffiti, and harassment. And the reader may be tempted to declare the Pacific Paradise as racist as Alabama, but the problem is national. No company is willing to take a chance on a black star. The overt violence of Montgomery is replaced with the silent cruelty of genius ignored. Cole's 15-minute show is doomed. As Cole's constant companion, Weary appreciates and understands Cole's music. In some of the description, I thought I heard the voice of Albert Murray, jazz critic extraordinaire. By the time of the second concert, Montgomery is headed for improvement. A seamstress who refused to give up her bus seat has been arrested. A boycott is underway, and Weary gives a lift to the new minister at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, an exhausted, intellectual-looking young man with a tweed coat and a briefcase. Driving the King is not an action novel. In fact, there's only one scene that a teenager would appreciate if it were a movie. But it is a beautifully wrought, quiet novel and deserves a wide readership.